Hey, that was Chick Corea, and the name of this song was Flight from Karuf, part one from his album The Ultimate Adventure. Yeah, so Flight from Karuf, interesting album from Chick Corea, quite a departure from his usual stuff. So, what did I do over the weekend? I did a lot. I went kayaking. I walked about 11 or 12 kilometers all over the road. I visited some Coptic churches and I saw Lucy. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds is actually one of the oldest human relative archaeological fossils that we have, and reasonably complete for a 3.2 million year old fossil is Lucy. Very small, much smaller than I expected, and the star attraction of the National Museum of Ethiopia. There are other museums, and I will go to them, but for now, there is Lucy at the National Museum. The museum itself is underwhelming. There is the archaeological section, which is great. It's not very well explained. It's just that Lucy made a National Geographic headline at one point of time, as well as somebody else called Samad, I believe, the first child. So a child fossil that was found a long, long time ago. And not much else explained about her. They had one video running, and that was about evolution of man in general. I guess that featured Lucy at some point of time, but I never stuck around to figure that out. And what else? There were costumes, and there was an interesting painting selection, and some of the paintings are quite vibrant. I think, by and large, the paintings of Ethiopia do have a lot of character to it. Moving aside from the museum for a second, I did go to another it was a shop. It's actually primarily a furniture shop, but they were also selling paintings, and they were well-selected paintings. It was called St. George something or the other. Wait, I have it here. It's a nice shop. Run by a mother and daughter. The daughter seems to have come back from the US. St. George's Gallery is the name of the shop. And very well laid out. Everything else I've been able to find on the streets, which was souvenir worthy, is not of very good quality. And this shop had quite good quality at just maybe a 10% premium of what you'd usually expect. So nice place, St. George's, I recommend it. The roads are very, very safe, if very, very underlit. I spent some time walking around wondering if there was a power cut, but actually, no, that's just the lighting on the roads. It's not very bright, the road lights. But I hear it's very safe. One of the reasons it's very safe, possibly, is because they have heavy influence of religion. So there's a Muslim religion and there's a Coptic Christian religion over here, both of which are quite devout. And I think that might be what's keeping crime off the streets. Possibly, because there is a rich-poor divide over here. Or maybe it's the political system, which was heavily ruled by one benevolent dictator. Yes. So the restaurant that I went to today had a photograph of Gaddafi. He had visited, so yeah. I'm not sure how Ethiopia fits into the entire Arab Spring of things. But benevolent dictatorship seems to be the thing. It seems to be what's good and what works. Ethiopia does not have a dictatorship now. It never did. It has an elected representative, the Prime Minister, who is quite powerful. So that's background of Ethiopia. The roads are very much like India. There's a lot of people. It's exactly like India until you cross and then you realize you're looking at the wrong side of the road. I've made this mistake in Ethiopia only. I've not made this mistake in places like Germany or America, where, of course, you can't jaywalk. Over here, you can jaywalk. And there are enough Maruti Santro-looking cars for you to think that it's India. And I've approached and the driver's come on the wrong side and I've gone on the wrong side. And this sort of thing's only happened here. And I'm not too sure why. Something about Ethiopia tricks me into thinking it's India. Maybe it's the food. The food is excellent. I happen to think very highly of Indian food in the sense that it really combines spices well. It really does that sort of thing well. And the non-vegetarian Indian food, I believe, is really top class as cuisines go in the world. Indian food has two drawbacks. One is that the vegetables aren't always fresh and it's boiled to death. And two, it's not healthy. The Ethiopian food do not have these drawbacks and have the spicy tininess and layering of spices that Indian food has. So I think, yes, Indians go all over the world and miss Indian food. I think if any other culture has food on us, it might be the Ethiopians. It's got an Arabic influence, but they do a few crazy things. For example, the roti that we eat, the bread that we eat with, it is a soft dosa sort of thing that's prepared in a towel that they'd give you in an airplane. It looks like that. And it's the texture of a soft dosa. It's soft. And it has this imli tang to it, which is strange. Our breads, our naans, they don't have any taste to it. They're individual by themselves. They're tasteless by themselves. It's meant to supplement the food. But not so the case over here. And today I had a meal where it had roasted lamb. I don't think it was marinated lamb, but it was roasted lamb that you were supposed to dip in honey. And then there was a biryani sort of rice, saffron rice. And there was the biryani gravy that some Indian restaurants give. So where does the honey suddenly fit into all this? You're supposed to dip one into, and have it with rice, which had a flavor by itself. Cinnamon and clove and everything in the rice. And they gave me a gigantic naan. It was a massive meal. It was far too massive for me to handle. And I'm going to come back from Ethiopia severely rotund and overweight. That's what's going to happen to me. So, kindly people, nice people, beautiful people. That's it for me from Ethiopia. Let me send you back to the flight from Karuf.